Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Grayscale Gorilla Podcast. It is a very special holiday episode this year. With us, as always, is I was trying to think of like a really cool like elf name or like Santa Claus name or something. But then I was like, that's not right. The Abominable Snowman, Chad Ashley.
How are you?
I'll take that. Or I would have accepted. What's the guy with the pickaxe? Yukon Jack.
Oh, and then of course we have the evil dentist, Chris Schmidt.
How are you? I actually like that.
What was that guy's name in the show?
His name was Nick. The evil dentist, Nick.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I carried that one around in junior high. That was fun. Mm. Hey, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, happy everything to every one of you. We're going to be talking about some of our favorite things over the years, some of the things that we've been using a lot day to day. So if you've been thinking about a gift for yourself or for maybe for other people, you know, is software a good gift to give to somebody? That's a tough one.
If it's ours, yes.
Of course. Yeah. If you're trying to find the perfect gift, for your family, mom, dad, listen, they got what they need. They go out and buy it when they need it, but something under the tree, something in the stocking that they would really be surprised about is something like Texture Kit Pro, like Kit Pro. You know,
I got it for all my kids. I got them girly grade LUTs and I think they're going to love it.
They seemed excited.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
I guess.
So what? Yeah. Software is not a great gift, is it? All right. We got to figure that out. I don't know why.
I also hate like when people ask for gift cards, like, oh, just give me a gift card to here. It's like, I might as well just be handing you an envelope of money at that point. Like, it's like, what? It's a middleman. Like, it's a piece of plastic that then has to have money loaded onto it and then spent at a very specific location.
I know, but gifts can be so hard because there's so many specific things. Like, it's not even just to get. Can you imagine getting a kid the wrong fidget spinner? Like, there were 8,000 different types, but that kid had just the right one in his head that they wanted. Like, they wanted the red one with the lightning on it or the white one with the rainbows on it or whatever it was.
Well, yeah, but as a little kid, you're supposed to drop hints, like leave the magazine open with the thing circled of the thing you want. Leave the browser. And the modern day would just have your browser window open with that particular fidget spinner. And then it's like, okay, now I get it. But I think the point being is gift cards are fine, but it's in bad taste to ask for one.
Oh,
that's a good point.
That's good.
Today, like when we were kids, like, you know, circling stuff in the Sears catalog or the service merchandise catalog or whatever it is, whatever catalog your area had.
Service merchandise. Remember that? They had the coolest stuff on there.
I know, dude. And they had the best stuff. But now it's like the screenshot is like every kid is just going to some site on their phone and like screenshotting it and sending
and
it.
messaging their parents.
Yeah. Or
that's the new circling it in the Toys R Us catalog.
Or Amazon wish list.
Yeah, Amazon wish list.
Yeah, those are like also equally powerful.
Well, hey, if you're listening and you're like, what is this podcast about? I thought they talk about emotion design. Well, you know, our goal is to try to give you some of the tools and thinking and things you need to become a better emotion designer. How many episodes are we? Almost 100 episodes now. We've been talking about 88. Different topics, all the way from what software, hardware we use, all the way to like, you know, how to get a better job and negotiate salary and all that kind of stuff. But today, you know, it's kind of getting close to holidays here. And we thought what we would do is talk to you about some of our favorite tools that we use almost every day. And right before we get into all that, we all have some recommendations and some things that we use that just save us time, you know, and help us out. But before we get to that, I wanted to make sure if you're listening to this now, there's a good chance that we are currently having our biggest sale of the year over at Grayscale Gorilla. It starts on Tuesday, December 12th. At 10 o'clock Central Time, and it ends Wednesday. So if you're listening to this podcast between that, you might want to pause it. Go click on the link down below because everything that Grayscale Gorilla makes is for sale in the store right now for 40% off. That includes all of our plugins, all the gifts for your parents that you wanted to get them, or maybe for yourself. It is all for
stocking stuffers.
Stocking stuffers, last minute. You know,
it's a gift that your boss wants to get you.
There you go. That's
you, you tell your boss, do. This is what I want.
You're like, listen, boss, the, you know, the bottle whiskey cooled, you can keep that. But on top of that, like a little stocking stuffer with some Texture Kit Pro. Anyway, if you've been looking at getting our any of our plugins, any of our training, anything that came out this year, we were just talking about all the new stuff that we released this year, including HDRI Link, including the Gorilla Guide to X Particles. We have Animation Fundamentals that's now on our store. So all of our training, of course, we have the Happy Toolbox that just was released, and any of the Grayscale Gorilla classics. These are like the claymation of Grayscale Gorilla. You know what I mean? Light Kit Pro, Texture Kit Pro, Signal, City Kit, Transform, all your favorites, plus all the new stuff. It's all going to be 40% off over at the Grayscale Gorilla store, one day only, 24 hours. And if you need a discount code. And let me tell you where to get it. If you are listening on Tuesday or Wednesday morning, go to grayscalegorilla.com/sale, or we'll make sure to put it, if you're watching this on YouTube, down in the link. It'll be in the description, show notes, all that stuff. grayscalegorilla.com/sale to learn more about this. It is only for 24 hours. We have people every year say, I missed it. So we try to go overboard and let people know ahead of time, this is it, 24 hours, go save on everything. And if you're confused about what to get, there's a couple options. You can get the complete suite, which is everything, right? And what's really cool about that is the complete suite's already on sale. So we did the math. It's over 60% off all of our plugins if you get the complete suite. It's over $1,400 worth of Grayscale Gorilla software for under $500. I forget the exact number. It's too early. Yeah. I can't do the math right now.
But it's like ridiculously cheap.
It's like $470 or something like that. You can get all of the Grayscale Gorilla plugins. So definitely go check it out. We're really excited. It's our biggest sale of the year. And we always want to make an end of the year, you know, a way for you to save at the end of the year. A lot of you have maybe budgets that you need to spend by the end of the year. So if you have any questions, don't forget to hit up support. You could also leave a comment here on the... right here on the podcast. We're going to be around during the sale answering any questions that you have. So yeah, if you're confused about it, check out that sale page. And if you want to get it all, check out the complete suite. And if you want to get all the training as well, we don't right now have a bundle where you can get all the training. But if you get AskGSG, GSG Drive, Animation Fundamentals, and Gorilla Guide to X Particles, you can get all four of those, plus Happy Toolbox and the GSG Complete Suite. And I think you got it all. Got it all, my friends. So go check it out. One day only. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you get too. And part of the show today, we're going to be talking about some of our favorite stuff that we've been using every day. And if I'm thinking about it, I might include a couple of my favorite Grayscale Gorilla plugins as well, just in case. Mm-hmm. Just in case you don't know what to get Aunt Sally.
Aunt Sally, I got you. I got you Texture Kit Pro.
Oh, thanks. Oh my goodness. Well, let's do this. Let's go around go around the room and talk about some of the software, some of the things that we've used, either, you know, that's not too expensive that we use every
can't
day.
Can't live without. Can't live without can't it.
Live without it. Chad, you had I think it was you that had this idea for the topic, is that right?
I sure did.
You go first then, man.
I think he's also got the longest list.
I'm a toolaholic. Anything that can make my life easier.
We're gonna try to put links to all these as well down below. So if you hear something that sounds interesting, we'll make some show notes. If you're watching on YouTube, we'll have it down below as well. So go at it, Chad.
All right. So I love sharing things that make life easier for people. And so, you know, everything that we're going to talk about today, like Nick was saying, is just stuff that we can't live without. And it could be anything, 3D things, 2D things, whatever just kind of makes your life as a motion designer easier. So I'm going to start it off with something that made my life a lot easier. And it is C4D installation variation. What the hell is that? You're probably saying.
I am saying that.
It changed the way that I used Cinema 4D, because what it does, it's a technique that I'm going to link below in the comments or in the show notes that will show you how to change your preference folder to, let's say, Dropbox. So every iteration of Cinema 4D that you have, maybe on your laptop or on your workstation or anywhere that you go, all of your preferences, your hotkeys, your layouts, your plugins that are in that folder will automatically carry over. So you don't, you only have to put them in one place. And it has really changed how I work, because sometimes I'm in R18, R19, sometimes I'm on my laptop, sometimes I'm over here, over there, and having one place where I can update my preferences with a script or a hotkey and have it automatically go to everywhere else that I use Cinema 4D has been phenomenal. So that's been a game-changing little utility sort of thing that I recommend.
Dude.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, you just blew my mind. I need this all the time.
Yeah, it's a little the site will walk you through the process of how to do it, and once you kind of get it working, it's great, man. Like I can't tell you how awesome it is to like go from like change your layout or add a new shortcut or whatever it is that you're doing on your workstation, and then you pick up your laptop to go wherever and work at a coffee shop or work in the living room, and that same layout and hotkey is right there. You didn't have to do anything.
I like that one. I like that one. Chris, you got one on your list?
I do. I tend to be pretty minimalist with a lot of stuff, but I've got a couple Chrome extensions that I use all the time. And the first one that pops up on my list is the Add to Pinterest button. If you've listened to our Inspiration Type podcast, we've mentioned Pinterest quite a few times. I know Chad and I use it quite a bit, and I use it both for cool textures I come across, or some inspiration or color schemes I think are cool, art styles I like. And then for my Dungeons and Dragons game I run, I find inspiration pictures and everything. And if you have the Add to Pinterest button, then you can just right click, or usually just mouse over an image, and you can click and say Add to Pinterest, and you pick your category, and boom, it automatically saves it in there. So if you want to make Pinterest actually useful to you, that you're actually contributing to it constantly, so you know, if you're surfing around Reddit and whatnot and you're just finding all these cool images, immediately you can save them into your Pinterest and it is ready to rock.
I love it. How do you use Pinterest? Like, what do you do with all that once you find all your favorite stuff and put it in there? Do you revisit it a lot?
It turns into specific things. Like right now I've got a folder of ideas for laser cutting. And when I finally get my laser cutter, I'm going to have a giant folder of all these things I want to check out for laser cutting. I've got one going now for 3D printing. I've got one going for building armatures for these like robot figures I want to put together. And then I'll get just like color scheme ones where it's like, oh, maybe I'm inspired to go work on some sort of render, and I can look at my color scheme folder and be like, oh man, look at the sunset. I just love the colors on that. How can I implement it? So I'm actually surprised at how often I do go back and check it. And when it comes to the D&D folders, that's actually the biggest ones I have. I have thousands and thousands of images saved. If you're trying to come up for ideas in a game, I just scroll through and it's like, ooh, that, you know, that guy makes me think of a thing, and that environment makes me think of a thing, and that cool picture of a sword I saved that's going to be an item they find. Use it all the time. So definitely super high up on my list.
And all your recipes.
Those I actually save in GIF form, and I probably should put those on Pinterest, but I just have a folder.
Yeah, the GIF recipes.
GIF recipes, man. Those are great.
I got one I use all the time. I'm obsessed with podcasts. Anytime I'm doing something kind of boring or mundane, but my ears and my brain are still available to learn, I feel like if I'm not listening to an audiobook or a podcast, I'm doing myself a disservice. So I'm just like constantly trying to find audio and interviews and things to learn. And something that I've been using for years now that I just kind of take for granted, but whenever I use it, I'm like, I'm so glad this is here. It's called Huff Duffer. And what it does is it allows you, it's a real thing. Don't laugh yet. It's a real thing. It's got a silly name, but it allows you to essentially make your own podcast from things that you find on the internet. So if you come across an interview on YouTube between, you know, two people that you like, or honestly, we're doing this right now. A lot of you probably know that this also exists on iTunes. You can go listen to it. But even if you didn't know that that this show exists on iTunes, you can go listen to it. You could use Huff Duffer to strip out the audio on this YouTube video, and it will automatically go into your phone as a podcast. And that's true with any YouTube video. It's also true with any MP3 you find. Like maybe it's a special podcast episode where your friend is on it, or a celebrity you like is on this one episode. You don't want to go subscribe to it. You don't want to go dig into your podcast app and find it. You just want to kind of tag it, almost like Chris and Pinterest, you use HuffDuffer in the same way as you do Pinterest. You add a little bookmark thing to the top of your web, your browser. You click it. It strips the audio out and sends it to your own custom podcast. I use this constantly. I'll see an interview I want to listen to later. And listen, you don't need to sit there and watch two people in a chair like talk at each other. You could put on your headphones later while you're taking out the garbage or walking to work or whatever you do in the car and listen to this stuff. So definitely check out HuffDuffer. I click on at least one thing a week that I'm like, this hour long interview is so interesting. I want to listen to it later. Don't have time right now. Click it, HuffDuff it. When I open my phone, it's there. It's that good. So check that out if you're in a podcast. Well, you are in a podcast, dang it. You're listening to this.
Right. Pretty good chance they might be in the podcast.
Let's just what would you want? We'll do circles, Chad. You wanna
circles. All right. Let's
keep it going.
Cooper's feeling very needy today for some reason, so he's making a guest appearance.
He heard about the Grayscale Gorilla sale.
No, what it is like I've got a heater in my office because it gets cold, and like he'll just come in here and lay by it all day and just like absorb all the heat. Okay. What's next here? Okay, so this one is huge with me, and if you've listened to any of my utility tutorials, you know this one is always one that I bring up. ShareX is a screenshot utility, and yet so much more. So ShareX is a Windows-only utility that allows you to do all kinds of things beyond just screenshotting stuff. So you can obviously screenshot any section of your screen, but you can also annotate it, and you can have like arrows and like write stuff on it and all that stuff. But it's also got this really cool ability to do capture to video and capture to GIF. So you could easily, like for me, I use it a ton when I'm trying to show somebody how to fix something or do something. I'll usually just grab ShareX and do like a little region around the area that I'm working in Cinema and share it to an MP4. And then it automatically opens up the folder on my Dropbox where that MP4 is. I just right click, save link as, copy and paste the link, and I'm done. So ShareX is, if you're not on PC and you're not using it, go get it as soon as you're done listening to this. It's fantastic.
Dig it.
You can set up workflows too, make it automatically upload to Dropbox or Google Drive, wherever you're at. So as soon as you screenshot something, it makes a little picture sound, and then it opens up that folder, and it copies the link to your clipboard automatically. So all you have to do is like screenshot it and then hit paste in Slack or Hangouts, whatever. It's really nice.
Oh, I get it. And then they could see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Chris, what's next, buddy?
Well, more Chrome extensions. I love HoverZoom. It's another Chrome extension, or it's probably extension in any browser. But if you're spending any time on websites like Reddit or even Google Images, where you're just kind of looking around, you want to look at things, you want to look at funny pictures of cats or GIFs of, you know, dogs slipping on ice and whatnot, HoverZoom makes it so you don't have to click the link. You can just mouse over the image and it will pop it open its own little window, as long as you're mouse, not even a window, it just pops it out. You see it in its own little window, and you mouse back away, it'll just disappear. So it's a way of kind of speeding through that stuff a lot quicker and just optimizing it.
And that's a Chrome extension, right?
It's an extension. It's probably also in Firefox and whatnot, an equivalent.
I'll have to check that one out.
HoverZoom.
That one sounds like very useful.
HoverZoom. Let's see here. Next, I'll stick with the Chrome extensions because they are so useful. This one's an obvious one, but if you're not using it, use a password manager. I use 1Password. I've been using it for years. Always had great experience with it. But the idea that I only have to remember one really secure, complicated password and type that in, access to all of my passwords, is such a time saver. The Chrome extension also allows it to just fill in your data right in line. So you just go to your login on almost any site, and instead of remembering each individual login, you put in your 1Password, and it unlocks and automates that whole process. What's really nice about it, the reason I've been using it even more, is that we all know, like, everyone's getting hacked. Everyone's websites are at risk. Everyone's like leaking emails and passwords. And it's just a mess out there recently. So what I've been doing is going back to my really important places, like banks and, you know, investment sites and, you know, things that have a lot of, you know, data in there that I don't, you know, that I want to keep secure, and putting a really, really hard, complicated password on it. Like, you know, one of those automated passwords with like asterisks and, you know, dollar signs, all that crazy stuff. What that allows me to do is make that really secure through my bank, for example, but then 1Password handles it from then on. I never have to remember that crazy, crazy password. I just have to remember my 1Password and they take care of it. So I guess it's a little bit of a reminder to go change your passwords. It allows you to not use the same password for everything. And so, and then let 1Password manage it. And the Chrome extension is just makes it so much easier. So if you check it.
I second this. I've been trying to get my immediate family to do it as well, because it's that time of year where you're logging on to stores and you forget, do I have an account here? And you're buying stuff. And, you know, a lot of my relatives still have little notebooks with all of the passwords in there. And I'm like, oh my God. And it's always like a stressful thing. Like, what was our password for this thing? Oh, I can't remember. And yeah, I use one too. And it's fantastic. It's definitely a must do.
I want to remind everybody that one of the main ways that you can have your data, one of the main ways that you can get hacked, I guess, like have somebody find your account and open it and be able to manage it, is not necessarily going direct. It's more common for somebody out there to get a list of one of these other websites that has been already hacked or leaked or whatever, and they see a bunch of emails and a bunch of passwords next to each other. And let's say that they now know your Twitter password. Not a big deal, right? You're like, oh, well, if somebody goes in there and says something, I can always close down Twitter. But here's the key. If your Twitter password is also the same as your bank password, they know that most people do this. And now they go to chase.com and they type in your, you know, email and your password that you use for something lower level security, and now they're in. That's how this stuff happens more often than not. It's not some super complicated back-end hacking with like glowing green text on their face. It's really, really direct. So just make sure you go change your passwords. I'm getting all excited about this for some reason. Hey, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Go change your passwords. That's what I got. That's what I got you, Aunt Sally. 1Password.
Who's next?
Let's see. Chad?
Oh, it's back to me. Okay. I'm going to stick with the theme that we got cooking right now, which are our Chrome extensions. And I'm going to say I like this Chrome extension called Colorzilla. If you're doing any sort of design, graphic design, website design, anything like that, which we all do, whether it's just for your own website or for somebody else, trying to find the right color and grab a color that you need is sometimes a pain. You end up screenshotting a website, bringing it into Photoshop, whatever. So what Colorzilla does is it is a little eyedropper that sits in Chrome, and you click on it, and you can mouse over any website, any color on your in Chrome, click on it, and it'll save that hex color into your clipboard, and you can just paste it into Photoshop or wherever you're at, and easily extract a color from something with one click.
Neat. I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, it's very handy. Very, very handy.
That reminds me, if you have any of the last few versions of Cinema 4D, they added a kind of a similar thing where you could drag in a photo and color pick from that photo to make swatches. Mm-hmm. And I've been finding myself using that all the time, kind of like what Chris said, like those colors are really pretty, like on that sunset or whatever. And you could just drag that photo in and start color picking, and it travels through all the textures. So you only need to do it in one, and then you could open a different texture and pick those colors. It's just a workflow I've been using a lot lately when it comes to color palettes.
I will ask if any of the Maxon people are listening to please add hex the ability to add hex colors in Cinema. That would be fantastic.
That's not in there?
Mm-mm.
No way.
Not that I could find anyway. Unless somebody wants to prove me wrong, I'd be happy to.
Yeah. Drop it in the comments. Oh, wow. You're blowing my mind. I swear there was hex somewhere. Okay. Mm-mm. There you go. Put it in the comments. By the way, all these links we're typing up right now. So anything we're saying here, just go down to the what do they call that? Show notes? Yeah, click it.
Show notes.
Show notes. Who's next?
Chris? I'm next. I'm going to stick with Chrome. I think most of mine are going to be Chrome. But this one came from Chad, because Chad was talking about all the time, but I started using Grammarly. And if you use normal Google stuff, well, first of all, if you're as horrible at spelling as I am, you probably spend a lot of time copying from whatever you're working in into Google and saying, fix this word for me, because I'm spelling it so horribly, my normal spell check can't figure it out. And Google's still the best. But imagine doing that not only for spelling, but for grammar. So you're writing out an email and it's saying, hey, you're supposed to have a comma here. And you're like, I didn't know there's supposed to be a comma there. And it just pops up. You click it and then it goes through. I think it even sends you like reports saying like, hey, you've grammarly'd 200 times this week. It's like, wow, that's a lot. I'm trying to get better at that.
I found that after I used it, I feel like, it's weird to say, but I was not a very good student. And so I feel like once I started using Grammarly, I started to feel like I was learning more about the English language just by using that than I did in grade school.
Totally. I'm definitely getting some of that. But then those other ones are just super weird because, you know, it also pops up for when I'm doing tech support now, where I can fix grammar and whatnot. And if you say, like, if I were to say, like, say it's like, hello there, Chad, I would think it's hello there, Chad, comma, but it's like, hello there, comma, Chad. I'm like, what? That's so weird. That one, I don't know.
It's those things though, that I feel like especially now, you kind of take written language for granted and everything's like shortened to the point where it's almost abbreviations for everything. But learning how to like really write a sentence that's easy for everyone to understand, and that is great. And Grammarly, I feel like, does that for me. Like, my emails are better. I've used it a bunch on Grayscale Gorilla stuff, and I feel like it's clearer, and I don't feel as stupid. I'm like, I'm getting me some smarts. Grammarly.
Yeah. let's see. I'll go with an iPhone app. I almost said it again. For those of you who enjoy a podcast, like we hope you do, check out this podcast player that I've been using for, oh gosh, how many years now? It's called Overcast. Overcast is like my preferred podcast player. It's easy to find podcasts. It's easy to just like grab one episode, organize them. I have different groups of podcasts. Some of them I only listen to in the car. So I kind of have like my car playlist. It's just really, really well done. But by far my favorite feature of Overcast is their time speed up feature. Now, normally I kind of hate how it sounds when you do like 1.5x or 2x. It kind of makes someone's voice, it's like too choppy. It's like, you know what it is? It's unintelligent. It just starts taking out spaces in between and it chops up the vocal and it just doesn't feel natural. But Overcast has a setting called, I should have looked this up. I will look it up before the end of the episode. They have a setting that is beautifully made. It basically waits for breaths and natural pauses in speech, just like I did there where I said in speech and there was a little delay. It looks ahead and finds those and chops them out. And you get about a 1 point, you know, you get about a 10 to 20% speed up on your podcasts and anything that you listen to with Overcast. And it is seamless. It doesn't sound all sped up. It doesn't sound like, you know, like a chipmunk or anything. It is, to me, the best speed up algorithm I've ever heard. And it's in this podcast app. I wish like Audible or somebody like that would like buy this technology, because I would like to listen to everything with this tech. It doesn't sound unnatural, but you save time using it. So if you've been using the regular podcast, the Apple podcast app or the Android podcast app, I shouldn't say that because Overcast is for iPhone only, I think. But definitely check it out. It has saved me literal time while listening to podcasts, and their features and the design of it, everything's just been really awesome. Overcast. Chad cool. Ashley.
All right, I'm gonna move us into Photoshop with a tool that I discovered not that long ago, but it's quickly become my everyday kind of tool. It's called GuideGuide, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned it here before. Have I?
I don't think so.
GuideGuide.
So it's called GuideGuide, and it's the most simple little utility where you can automatically create grids. And if you're a designer, you know, grids are everything. So you can create, you know, you could 3 columns, 4 rows, whatever you want to do, split it into thirds, however you want to do it. But it is a really fast way to add guides, a grid of guides, or completely like interesting sort of rule of third grids that kind of break down and subdivide. And it's awesome. It's really fast, really easy. I use it all the time. So that's mine. One of mine.
GuideGuide.
Well, I'm going to pull us back into extensions. And I know Chad knows this well. I am obsessed with actually the thing Nick was just talking about, but in YouTube, I watch so much YouTube. I always am listening to things on 1.25 or 1.5 speed, like all the time, like almost everything, especially if it's educational. I might even be on 2x speed where it's just like jumping, speeding through. But Vimeo doesn't give you any speed controls, but there's an extension that gives you speed controls in Vimeo. Not only that, it lets you type in any arbitrary number and get that speed. So maybe you want 1.35 or you want 3x speed. So you can just type in any number. It adds a button onto your Vimeo player and you can go at any speed. Very useful. So I'm going to put a link, but it's just the one I found. I think this was just made by like some person. It's just Vimeo repeat and speed. So I'll have a link to that.
Repeat and speed.
Thumbs like up on that one.
I'd like to see one of those Chris Grayscale Gorilla tutorials on 3x speed. I think that should be like a rite of passage. Like once you watch 20 tutorials, you have to go do this and then see what you make. Like how much did you get out of it?
I feel like trying to watch the Micro Machines guy.
That's my dream one day. Speak that fast.
Let's see here. I got the next one. It is, it's kind of 2 pieces of software, but they work together. So for my desktop, and I still use Mac, just so everyone knows, I think it might only be for Mac. It's called Notational Velocity. And I use this as a note-taking app, and it's just a really simple, bare-bones note-taking app. If you were like me before I discovered Notational Velocity, I would open up something like a text edit or some really simple text, piece of software. And I would type some notes and do my regular like brain dump or scribble. And then I would go save it somewhere. And I would end up with this giant file of text messages, basically, that I'm like little notes here and little quotes I found on a podcast. And what's the problem with that is that it's not very easily searchable down the road. It's not easy to find things. They're all named, you know, just like test 2 or whatever. You're in a rush to like type stuff up. Well, this basically wraps up all of your little text notes into a really robust, easy way to find things. And so all you have to do is start typing, and it makes a new note. And every word in that note that you make is now searchable. So later down the road, you're like, where was that little note where I took notes about the upcoming sale or whatever? Like I'm brainstorming this now, I just type GSG sale and all the notes I've ever written that ever had those words in it pop up and allow me to go find it and search it. So that's the Mac side of it. What's really great about it, and the reason I've been using this for years, is that it syncs to a service called SimpleNote. And SimpleNote is essentially the online portion of this that allows you to sync it anywhere you want. And for me, this is on every laptop I own, every machine I own, and I also use the SimpleNote iPhone app so that it's also on my phone, which means if I want to take a note on my phone, by the time I get back to my computer, it's there as well. And it's all searchable, and I have notes here from the earliest one I have is 2009. Literally started using this when, you know, I was starting Grayscale Gorilla, and every note almost every note I've ever made that's not in a physical notebook is in this platform. So I could go back and look for things that I've found over the years. I use it every day, every day. One of those things I kind of take for granted. But as we got this list together, I'm like, if you're not using some sort of app like this, I think there's a new one called Bear that a lot of people are using. I've heard great things about it. But if this is new to you, this idea, check out Notational Velocity, check out Simple Note, and stay organized. I need all the help I could get to stay organized. Next.
Word. I'm going to take it into production, and I'm going to say that Neat Video Denoiser is a fantastic tool that everybody should check out. So if you're doing any sort of 3D rendering where noise is an issue, and maybe you can't necessarily render out or wait for it to render out the cleanest image, there's a plugin for After Effects, Premiere, Final Cut, Nuke, Fusion, just about any host you can think of, this plugin will work. And it is the best plugin for getting rid of noise intelligently that I've ever used. The website that'll be linked in the show notes if you looked at the website, it kind of looks like a website from like GeoCities days. It's not a very compelling website, but I can assure you that all the energy put into Neat Video went into the plugin, not into the website. So check it out. I've thrown some pretty noisy stuff at it, and it doesn't kill the detail. It just kills the noise. It also, I've used it on footage too. So if I've had footage that was heavily compressed or maybe shot in low light and very noisy, or if even actually I've denoised footage before I've done comping on it, even if it wasn't really particularly noisy, it just really cleans up your footage, especially if it's like a lot of blue noise, noise in the blue channel. But for 3D stuff, I found that you could render with slightly lower settings and run it through Neat Video Denoiser and get a clean render out of it.
Do you use After Effects or Nuke? What do you run?
I use it in Fusion, but I have used it in After Effects as well. And they make a version for After Effects, Premiere, Final Cut, Nuke, Scratch, Resolve. Did I say Fusion? Yeah, Fusion. I mean, they've got versions for all of it.
I've been meaning to do that. Let's write that on our like tutorial idea list, because I think, especially with physical render, and I know Arnold has a similar problem, maybe Redshift does too, but noise is really the only thing you're solving for at a certain point when it comes to render time. And there's so many times I look at physical, I'm like, that looks really good if I squint, you know, like if I get rid of the noise, that looks almost perfect. And if you could instead render in half the time and then denoise it, that might be a really compelling like video that we could show that process.
So many renderers now are bringing denoisers into the actual renderer. So NVIDIA just announced that Redshift is going to be shipping with an AI denoiser. So it's going to be a learning denoiser strictly for the IPR, not for the final frame. But so then you got, I think, V-Ray has one, RenderMan has one. So everybody's kind of doing these denoisers built in to the renderer, which is pretty cool, definitely useful. But this is a way to get that without having to wait for the renderer to do it. And you can do it in post where you can adjust it and all that sort of thing.
Right.
And it's pretty cheap. I mean, the After Effects version is $75. And the Nuke Fusion version, which is OFX, is going to be $250. And I mean, that sounds like a lot, but the OFX hosts like Nuke and Fusion, that's going to be a lot faster than After Effects. So if you're already using those host applications, that price is not a big deal, but definitely cool.
Love it. Thanks, man. Chris?
Yeah. This is a little bit of a tangent on it, but you know, I don't use cable anymore at home. Like all my TV is just something like Netflix or Amazon Prime. But what's really replaced it is YouTube. I have followed so many different people on YouTube and tons of educational stuff and cool technology and makers and just so many cool things on there. And so for me, paying for YouTube Red, which I think is $10 a month, was just kind of a no-brainer. It gets rid of all of the ads entirely. You get access to all of the YouTube Red shows, and there's a handful that are actually pretty good, especially some of the educational ones. But it also unlocks functionality in the apps, like on your phone and on like my iPad, where you can do things like turn off the screen and be listening to just the audio. And I think it's even only just streaming the audio, because the picture always tries to catch up again once you relaunch it. And just the ability to like turn off the screen so you're not using a whole bunch of juice while you're listening to something, it just turned into a really, and like right, my car doesn't hook up to my phone. So I usually will have the phone like sitting somewhere off to the side and I'm just listening to something, like put on an hour long podcast and let's sit off to the side. I want to have the screen off because I'm going to use up all the juice while I'm driving. So YouTube Red has been really useful in a whole bunch of different ways. And you know, at a certain point, like I like supporting things that are giving me something useful. So is something I gladly pay my $10 on.
I think, Chris, if I'm not mistaken, you can get, if you're paying for Red, I know it's the other way around, that you can get Google Play Music for free, or maybe it's the other way around. You get Google Play Music and you get YouTube Red for free, because I have YouTube Red from my Google Music account. And I agree, man. I can't go back. Like I can't, I go to somebody's computer that like, they don't have Red and I have to watch an ad and I'm like,
what? This is still a thing? I've been using it for like 2 years already. It's to the point where I've forgotten that YouTube runs ads.
I know, me too. Like you're just like, wait, what is this? Why do I have to watch this?
It is true, by the way. I did get Red and I got Google Play for as a part of that. So it does go the other way.
Okay. And I just want to throw out there, it's really important to me. Like, I know there's a lot of students and whatnot out there, and you don't have the money to support these things. But for the most part, when you're watching ads on YouTube, most of that money is going to the creators, the content creators and what they're doing. So I know a lot of people are really fond of ad blockers, but like, I'm just against that. I mean, like, we're a tiny company, and if people aren't seeing ads when we're doing something, then we're just not going to survive as a company. And if there's a YouTuber who made like amazing content and you're doing an ad blocker and their ad doesn't play, you're just taking money out of this creator's hands. So I just think it's important to, like, if you're getting something for free from YouTube, so you watch an ad, or you pay them a little bit of money and now you don't get an ad. And yeah, as soon as you have the ability to support things that you enjoy and you want to continue being in the world, I think it's important to like actively support them that way.
Yeah, and and just to be clear, I think part of the YouTube Red payment goes to the creators,
yes,
right?
It gets rid of the ads, and that's direct payment.
Got it. Awesome. I definitely will back that one. I love it. Over the years, there's different accounts I have of YouTube, and if I'm logged into the wrong account, I'm like, what is this 5 second thing?
Yep.
I need to skip.
Yeah.
All right, let me jump back here. This is not a piece of software. I'm cheating a little bit, but this come up this year a couple times now where I have to bring like a little gift to a holiday party or a family party. And like what is a kind of a gift that everybody could use that they wouldn't usually try themselves, but that has just changed my life for the better for the last year. And it's this. It's called a pop socket. If you're just listening to the audio, it's a little, I'm gonna call it a dongle. It's a little dongle that you stick to your phone that allows you to grab it easier. It allows you to like put it up on a table, kind of like lay it down and walk like at a 45 degree angle and kind of prop it up. It does so many great things, including make me feel like I'm not gonna slip this giant phone out of my hand at any moment. Anyway, it's a $10 piece of plastic or $8 or wherever you can get these things. I think Amazon has them. This thing has changed my life. I can't explain to you how important it is to me that I have this pop socket on my phone. So if you're looking for, you know, an inexpensive gift to like give out to a friend, a stocking stuffer, some last minute thing, you know, you look at this and you're like, does it really matter? It's changed everything. It also, by the way, if you collapse it down, they also sell little hangers. So if you find yourself watching video a lot, like maybe while you're cooking or, you know, if you use a GPS that's on your phone in your car, they have also little things you could slot into your dashboard. So now it just falls right in and you're hooked in your car. You're hooked into the kitchen. You know, you got one of Chris's GIF recipes you want to watch. You put it on the wall. It is awesome and just so much pleasure.
Preach.
Preach, right? You got one?
Preach.
dude, so much pleasure out of this little thing. And let me tell you, I thought two things. I thought, one, this will fall off in a month and I'll just like trust it. And then it'll just make me drop my phone in a river. This thing's been stuck here for a year. Two, the other problem was, is like, what happens when you're done using it? Does it come off cleanly and not leave like a giant sticker on your phone? Both are perfect. Like, I've seen phones that had it forever. You remove it, and basically the only thing you have is kind of the rug situation, where all the wear on your phone is now created a little circle.
That's a perfect circle of not wear.
Yeah. So it's not doing any damage, but at the end, it's still visible because of the lack of damage that's not being done where this pop socket is. So other than that, just highly recommended, and you can get them in all the cool colors as well. But you know. You can go check that out.
I love mine, and it's almost like a fidget spinner too. Do you ever use yours like that? Do you like
play with it constantly?
I know, me too, dude. I'm always messing with it. It's actually sort of like, it's calming. I gotta say, like, just playing with it is kind of calming. It's because it's got the two levels of pop socketness, where it's like the first level is like here.
Play with both.
And then the second level, it's just like so satisfying to push it in. And
oh my gosh, they're having a sale today, guys.
Like that.
Pop Sockets is having a sale.
Watching a video, going back.
I'm so glad you like it too, man. I am, I'll put that in the show notes.
I think you turned them on to me.
Yeah, Nick's been recommending this for a little while.
And then I bought one for my youngest daughter. And yesterday she was on a chair holding her phone with the pop socket with her foot, like watching a video, just like laying back with her foot up in the air with a pop socket between her toes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is craziness.
You can get custom ones. We got to get some Grayscale Gorilla ones. What are we doing with our life?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That should already happen.
Why? Oh man. All right. Let's see. Chad, let's do one more round. Go through. And so if you have a couple, why don't we do a little lightning round here and we'll wrap up.
Sure. So lightning round. Let's see. What do we got here? I've been using I use Fusion to do all of my compositing, all of my 3D compositing and footage based compositing. And a guy that used to work with me at DK, Tim Little, when we were at DK together, he wrote a script that splits out EXR files into all of their channels into different loaders in Fusion. And that's super useful because I render all of my stuff as embedded EXR. So all of my different passes are embedded in one EXR file. It's a lot easier, cleaner way to work. And so we needed a way to kind of split out all the different passes that we put into this EXR into separate loaders. In Nuke, it's much easier. You can just do that with like channel operations. But in Fusion, it's actually a little bit harder. So he wrote a script that I'm going to put a link to that you can go get if you've been messing around in Fusion. It's a lot of fun to play with. And this script will automatically take everything that's embedded in that EXR and make a nice little row of loaders for you to make a pull this mat into there or this ambient occlusion out over there or wherever. And it's something that every time I open up Fusion and I drag in an EXR sequence, I use that tool. So that's a must have. And lightning round, what's
the name of that again? I'm just
It's Tim Little's Split EXR script. I guess it's not a really fancy name, but I'll throw it in the notes.
Awesome.
And to wrap mine up, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to throw two GSG tools in there because the two GSG tools that I use every single time I'm on my workstation are HDRI Link Suite and Gorilla Grade LUTs. Those two things I'm always using, and I can't live without those two things.
Mm. Oh, you're right. Thanks for adding those. I forgot. We've got to add one of our tools here at the end. Hero.
I added two, but that's all right.
I'm okay with that. In the notes.
For me, I guess one last random one. It's sort of an app, sort of also a website, but I really enjoy Road Trippers. If you're not familiar with Road Trippers, it's just kind of a mapping app. But it shows you, you can sort by like restaurants or attractions or parks or museums. Like you can get a whole bunch of cool subcategories. And I found that when you're traveling somewhere and you're just in an area and you don't know what's around there, it's a great way of being like, oh, how are we going to plan our day? Like, oh, that looks neat. That looks neat. That looks neat. And then it'll optimize the route for you. And you can tell it's like a return trip or, you know, like a round trip. And it's just whenever I'm on a random trip somewhere and I'm not sure what's going on, or even if you're going from A to B, you say, hey, what's cool on the route? And it's, and you can give like a radius to like your travel, like you're traveling down the road, and it'll give you a 50-foot radius or a 20-mile radius kind of thing. And it's just a great way of putting that together. Going to Grayscale Gorilla stuff, what's funny is the one I'm going to say is Signal. Like, I love Signal, and I don't think enough people have Signal, and I use Signal in a dozen different ways every day, all the time. It's my favorite plugin we've put together by far. But I want to put in a caveat that it's highly likely that I should say HDRI Studio, which also it's like HDRI Studio and HDRI Link serve the same purpose depending on what type of renderer you're using. But I use HDRI Studio so often that I don't even think about it as like a tool I'm actively using. It's like, hey, here's a button I got to click. Here's a button I click. Click one more button. Pick a nice background. I don't have to think about it anymore. Where Signal, I feel like I'm actively engaged on it, and I'm animating, I'm doing stuff, I'm tweaking things and controlling it. HDRI Studio or HDRI Link just makes it so simple and straightforward. That's just like, it's like, I don't know. It's like, you don't think about the fact that Cinema 4D has modeling features in there as something, because it's just something you take for granted. It's something that's there, something you need and you're going to use all the time. And HDRI Studio and HDRI Link are that for me, where it's just like, well, obviously it's there. I need that. So I don't even think of it as a tool. It's just a given. But yeah, if you haven't tinkered with Signal and you're not sure what Signal is, man, it is so much fun to play with and solve problems you wouldn't think about. And just the additive mode we have where you're like, animate, I want to have this spin 90 degrees, but I want it to do that forever. And then you're like, oh, wait, you know what? I want to go twice as fast. And you just change one number, it's going twice as fast. And then you go and you lengthen your timeline, and it's just still animating forever. It's not something you have to think about. And you just layer those types of things on and on and on. And if you're not familiar, a little while ago, we added on the giant beats per minute feature. We added stepping into it so you can really get more of a stop motion-y vibe on thing, get more variation. Man, it's just such a great tool you can tie into everything.
Yeah, so that's mine. That's awesome. I put those in the notes here. Signal is definitely one of those ones you have to explain a little bit more. You have to say, okay, here's what it does. Maybe show a little demo, and then people are like, oh, I get it. Holy crap. Now I get it. And HDRI Studio Rig's a little bit more like, oh, I get it right away. Of course, you know what I mean? So I'm glad you put both of those in there. I'll wrap things up here. Let me double check my notes here. I'm gonna go with, what's a fun one? Should I do a fun one or a practical one? I'm not sure. This one's a simple, you know what? This one's all about giving. So at the end of the holiday, as the holidays come in, let's talk about giving. You guys know about Smile. It's on Amazon. It allows you to go to a different URL on Amazon and then take a portion of what you purchase and put it towards a charity. Have you guys used Smile before?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about making that one of mine in my list here. So I'm glad you brought it up.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. So,
oh my God. Well, I'm glad. I just thought everybody knew, which is why I didn't, but already you've justified it, Nick.
Yeah. So you can.
Thanks, Chad.
You can go to different charities, have different URLs. And basically, if you shop on that URL, it costs you no more as an Amazon purchaser. Costs you no more. It just means that you support this charity and a percentage of that of your purchase will go to that charity. Well, it's never super clear if you're on that URL or not. And so often I go to Amazon because I'm like in a hurry to like bookmark something, or I got to pick up something really quick, and I forget to go to the Smile link, and then I buy it, and then I'm bummed. Like, I could have, you know, put that towards charity and all that stuff. Well, there's a Chrome extension called Smile Always that looks for you to go to Amazon and says, whoa, and directs you to the actual charity that you'd like to back, so that every time you go to Amazon, it goes to Smile. So That's all it does. It disappears into the background after you install it once. And it's been awesome to like show up on the page and you get the little reminder at the top that you're going towards this charity. And if you use a lot of Amazon like I do, you know, makes me happy. It helps other people. Smile always. Definitely check out that if you're using some Chrome. And also go pick a charity to back on Amazon if you didn't know that that was a thing. And as far as, you know, the sale, with the sale coming up, which if you're just a reminder, the 24-hour Grayscale Gorilla 40% off sale is happening Tuesday, December 12th through 10 a.m. Wednesday. And that's December 13th. So 24 hours only, everything that Grayscale Gorilla makes. And to put one of my favorite tools in here, I'd have to agree that HDRI Studio rig is probably my most used as far as it's in almost every project. But I'll also mention Transform. I'll mention Transform as a second one because I think that Transform's another one of those that you have to see it in action before you really kind of like understand what it does. And Transform's a way, it's essentially a way to make MoGraph really, really easy to use inside of Cinema 4D. The other reason I'm mentioning it is because we just recorded a tutorial that shows you how to transform one object into another using Transform. And that's going to be on the site really soon, along with a ton of other great stuff. We've been really posting a lot of tutorials recently. If you haven't been to the tutorials page in a while and you're looking to learn more stuff, Chad has some Arnold tutorials, some Redshift tutorials. Chris did a really cool one about buoyancy and making things look like they're floating on water. We have some new X-Particles videos up there about X-Particles 4.0. We have the Transform video coming out, and it's been fun. It's been a fun end of the year for us. We've been really getting back into the live shows and more tutorials and all that stuff. So as we wrap up here, don't forget to check out the show notes. We have a lot of them this week. And you know, if you're listening during Tuesday into Wednesday, December 12th and 13th, go head on over to grayscalegorilla.com/sale. Learn more about the sale, and don't forget about the coupon code that will be available on that page. Put that in at checkout and you'll get 40% off your purchase. And we got some links right here. So if you ever wanted to learn more about Transform, HDRI Studio Rig, Signal, and HDRI Link, definitely go check those out. And everything else, including our training, 40% off at the store, December 12th and 13th. And with that, I'd like to thank you guys. First of all, thank you guys for bringing all the awesome links and all these fun things we can go learn about. I'm going to go check out Road Trippers for sure. I got a road trip I'm planning. So thanks for that one, Chris. And ColorZilla, that's on my list as well. So definitely check out the links down below. And as always, thanks again for joining us. This has been a really fun year for us. As we wrap up the year, just, you know, you get a little, you think back. How'd the year go? How'd the year go for us? And I'd like you to do the same. Kind of follow along with us. How'd the year go for you? There's always things we could do better. There's always things, you know, we should have done. But one of the things I love to do at the end of the year is to make a list of things you did do. And I think you'll be surprised, as much as we do every year, of how many things actually get done and get accomplished. And I'm not just talking about work here. Family and friends and events and other things that you've helped with or done. Write it all out and give yourself a day to... give yourself an hour to look at the things that you've accomplished and pat yourself on the back, because if you're anything like us, it's always hard to celebrate the wins. It's on to the next thing, on to the next thing, better, faster, learn this. Go back and look at your projects. Go back and look at the clients you worked with or the things that you did, and really remind yourself on the progress you made this year. Because to me, it's always helpful at the end of the year to remember, I am getting better. Everyone, you know, and to see that actually on paper for me is a really big help. So I encourage you to do the same. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and we'll see you in another Grayscale Gorilla podcast really soon. Bye-bye, everybody.